It's not Groot. I am Groot. No, roots, roots. How many of you believe your roots matter? How many of you know where you plant yourself matters? You know, what you grow in matters. All those things matter. And we are in this series, and it is really my purpose in my heart this week, really to really dive into one of the greatest things that you can ever put your roots in. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it this way. If you don't put your roots in this, you're not pleasing God. You're not pleasing God. Now, before I get there, I want to, because of last week, because we did so many baptisms and everything, I want to bring everybody up to speed, all right? So we're going to start out with one of Jesus' parables. This is the seed and the sower. Everybody remember me talking about this last week? All right, check it out. Here's what he said. He said, and to them he said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the what? Parables. Listen, if there's one parable in the Bible that stands out about above all the other parables, it's this parable right here, the seed and the sower. If you can understand this parable, all the other parables apply. But get this, this is also true, that if you don't apply this parable, can I tell you, none of the other ones will make sense. This one matters more than any other ones. Jesus said it that way. He said, if you can get this one, man, all the other ones make sense. So it is very important that we understand this one. So here we go. The sower sows the what? Come on, everybody say word. No, say it like your word. Word up. I mean, if you remember Cameo, Word Up. Don't raise your hand. It was a terrible song. No. How many of you heard the song Word Up? How many of you have never heard the song Word Up? Where's your... Deb. So sheltered. So sheltered. Word Up. Everybody say... Oh, anyway, I got to go on. Here we go. Here we go. The sower sows the word. That's what we need to know. The sower sows the word. Remember, the word is the seed, always. The seed determines the harvest. So the word is the seed. I'll go a little bit further, but watch this. And these are the ones who sowed the seed by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes and does what? Immediately steals what is sown in their hearts. So now we got the seed is the word, right? And we got the soil is their heart, okay? I'm just trying to, I'm going through this fast. I know we talked about it last week, but I want to make sure everybody's on the same page, all right? So the seed is the word, and obviously the heart is the soil, and Satan comes to steal the seed because the seed is what transforms your life. All right? It's what brings results in your life. Look at it this way. Next verse, it says this. These likewise are the ones who are sown on the stony ground who, when they hear the word, which is the seed, and it's sown into someone's heart, that's right, immediately they receive it with gladness, and watch this, and they have no root in themselves. It doesn't root itself in them. It doesn't root itself in them. Excuse me. All right, but afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word's sake, not because you're a jerk, didn't we say that last week? You know, some people get persecuted and they say, well, it's because I'm a Christian. No, you're nasty. Right? It's because the word's sake. In other words, when you stand up for righteous causes, when you stand up for the Bible, when you believe the word of God, people are going to persecute you. But listen, but don't allow that persecution to drive you away from your standards or the word of God. Because that's what the enemy wants it to do. All right? So it goes on. So immediately they what? They stumble. They give up that word. They give it up. Now these are the ones who, when it's sown among the thorns are the ones who hear the word, which is the seed that goes into our heart, and the cares of this world. What does it do? The deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, last part are these, and this is where we want to be. This is where I want you to be. I want you to be one of these guys right here. But these are the ones who, when the word is sown into what? Good ground. I told you last week, and I'm going to say it again. You have control over the ground. You have control over your own heart. You determine what kind of soil the word of God is putting into. Everybody say, I want to be good ground. And you can say it this way, and you know what I'm saying. You want to be fertilized ground. Right? Take a whole lot of messes, and that's just compost for God to do something big in your life. You don't have to laugh. I think it's funny. Who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some what? 100-fold. And again, last week, and I'm almost ready to start my message. Some fall on the stolen seed, I'm sorry, are those who bear no fruit. Then we have those who have hard soil and no roots, and they also produce no fruit. Then you have cluttered soil. They have good roots. They have roots, but it produces no fruit because the clutter of that place takes and outgrows the seed that's sown into their heart, okay? But then you have good soil, which is your heart. All right, how many of you know we want good soil, right? And then we have good roots, allow that thing to penetrate and drive deep on the inside of you. I was actually talking to someone last week and they said, Pastor Charlie, it was actually Mike Wyatt, he was talking to me. He goes, take it from a sewer guy for over 30 years, roots grow all year. So he told me last week for a service. And it is true that your roots should be growing no matter what season of life you're in. You should be growing. You should be growing deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. Hopefully tonight I can help with that. Good roots, good soil equals what? Good fruit, good fruit. Now, let me ask you this. Are you going to produce fruit every season? No. There's a season for everything. You're gonna produce a lot of fruit some seasons. Other times, you're not going to bear a lot. But listen, the truth of the matter is you should be bearing good fruit if you have good roots. Everybody knows that, right? You know you got good seed, which is the word, right? All right, praise God. All right, so what is the one thing, one area that I believe above all my heart pleases God more than any other area in your Bible? Here's the truth. It's more than holiness. It's more than righteousness. It's more than, matter of fact, without these, none of the other ones matter. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. You ready? Here it is. Faith. Everybody say root of faith. Hopefully tonight I can show you tonight. I'll be honest with you. My motive tonight is to show you how the root of faith takes root in your life. Takes root in your life. Because some of you think, well, I think I got faith, but I don't know if I got faith, and I want to have faith, but I'm not sure how to get more faith. I'm not sure how faith works. Well, tonight, hopefully I can do my job and answer some of those questions. So a lot of this is really more about teaching you how to get deep roots in your heart. And I'm going to give it to you real, real practical so you'll understand it. So let's first ask this question. What is what? Faith. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6 and check this out. Here's what the Bible says. But without faith, without faith. It doesn't say without prayer. Doesn't say without fasting. Doesn't say without giving. It says without what? Faith. Why? Because everything else you do is irrelevant if you don't involve this one key cornerstone, faith. Faith is what it all responds to. In other words, if I don't give from faith, I'm not giving right. If I don't forgive in faith, I'm not forgiving right. If no matter what I do, when it comes to pleasing God, I'm going to have to do it by what? By faith. What is faith? If without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For anyone who comes to him must first believe he is. Now, in the Greek, that's said in the emphatic, which means it doesn't say, you know, anyone who comes to God must believe he is. It's not like that. In the Greek, it's anyone who comes to God must believe he is. I mean, it's like driven home. It's like you got to believe this. Like if you may believe a lot of things, but you got to believe He is. You remember when Moses asked God, who am I to tell them you are? He says, tell them I am. I am. I am the all-sufficient one. I am the one. I have all things. I am your healer. I am your provider. I am the I am. I am. So as far as our position is, we don't believe he ams. Right? We believe he is. Absolutely. He is. See, that's how we would say it. He says, watch this. He comes to God, must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. No, so notice this. The Bible does not teach that faith is simply believing he is. A lot of people believe he is, but they're not operating in faith. The way you operate in faith is you believe he is and. Did y'all get that? How many of you believe and's a big word there? Yeah, he is and. He is and. If I tell Whitney, here's my debit card. And the PIN number is. How many of you know the PIN number is important? I'm sure she could use it without that. But you get what I'm saying, that there are certain times where and is everything. And in this situation, it is. A lot of people believe God is, but they don't believe he is one who rewards those who seek him. You've got to, at the bottom of your heart, know that he loves to reward you. It's really, honestly, it's kind of weird because religion is the opposite. Religion is you seek God and he doesn't reward you. Christianity is the only religion in the world where you seek God and God promises he rewards you. And it almost, I was mowing the grass thinking about this verse right here. It almost comes off like selfish. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's almost selfish in the sense of you want to believe God in faith so that you get rewarded. That sounds selfish, right? Okay, it does sound it. But listen to this. But when you know how much he loves you and how much he cares about you, his love outweighs your selfishness. Y'all getting what I'm saying? And I might not be able to say it exactly the way I feel it, but I want you to know that the reason he wants to reward you is not because of your selfishness. He wants to reward you because of how good he is and how much he loves you and how much he desires to be a part of your life. Y'all hearing the difference? So it's not about selfishness. It's about his ability to love you beyond your comprehension. How is it possible that my kids can annoy me and I still feed them? I will be feeding them and they will be arguing with me. You want to snatch the food right out of their plate, right? No, out of their mouth. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. How many of y'all hear my heart? You hear my heart? I don't want it to come off like I'm saying that God blesses selfishness. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that he wants you to believe he's going to reward you because his love for you. Everybody get that? All right, praise God. Now check this out. So it goes on to say, he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we operate in faith, here's what we're talking about in a nutshell. We've used this in previous messages, so I wanted to come back and hit it. I think Toph maybe even hit on it one time. Belief plus confidence equals action. When we believe something, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and we have confidence in him, then it moves us to an action with God. Right? Remember that faith is not completed until it hits here. Am I right? You can believe that God wants to bless your money. Right? You can have confidence that God wants to bless your money. But until you act on it, it doesn't do anything for you. Right? You can believe God wants to heal your body. You can believe that. You have a belief system. God is my healer. You can have confidence. God wants to heal my ingrown toenail. I don't have an ingrown toenail, by the way. I'm just saying, all right? But listen, but you've got to put some action to it that God wants to do something with that. I don't know. Clip it, put it in peroxide. I don't know. I'm just saying, you've got to have, that's a terrible example of what I'm trying to say. I'll give you a better example. Oral Roberts, whenever he used to go around praying in tent meetings, he would tell them in the meeting, they would have one tent where it was paraplegics and people that couldn't move. And they absolutely couldn't move, really bedridden people. And he would tell them, listen, when I get to your tent, as soon as I begin to pray, if you can only move your tongue, move your tongue. If you can only move your foot, move your foot. Whatever I'm praying for you to be healed from, I want you to move it as much as you can. In other words, it's more like this. Do everything that you can and expect God to honor your faith and your action. Yeah. Everybody get that? That's what God's really after. He wants to see you act upon his belief and your belief, all right? So now, here we go. Faith is not trying to make God do something for you. Everybody get that? It's not. I've had people, well, you know, Pastor, I'm trying to get God. You ain't moving God. Okay, you move or he moves? You moving. Why? Listen to this. Powerful point, powerful understanding that you got to have in your heart when it comes to rooting yourself in faith. What? If you are trying to make God do something for you, that means you believe he has not done it already. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If you're trying to get him to save you, that means he hasn't done his part. If you're trying to get God to heal you, that means you believe he hadn't done his part. If you're trying to get God to bless you, you're believing he hasn't done his part. Faith says he has done his part. I believe it. I have confidence in it. And you know what? I'm going to act on it right now. Hear the difference? I believe he healed. I believe he delivers. I believe he does those things. Listen, I'm talking to you about rooting yourself in faith. Rooting yourself in faith says, I believe God already did it. How many of you know Jesus did everything he was going to do to rescue humanity 2,000 years ago? Aren't you glad? He did it 2,000 years ago. He's not going to come back and die again. He's not going to take whipping and scourging again. He's not going to do anything else. He's done it all. And so what our point is, whenever you operate in faith, is you are looking to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, period, end of story. So anything I find Jesus dying and suffering and paying for, I have access to now by faith. I have access to it. I may not have it, but I have access to it. And there are some things your faith, as you can wish it all you want. You ain't getting it until Jesus is ready. How many of you want a glory? We just came out of the heaven series. How many of you want a new body? It ain't happening until the rapture, y'all. It just ain't happening. Well, I'm going to faith it. You're going to die. You can faith it all you want. You're going to die. You're going to wait till the rapture of the church, praise God. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying? But there are a lot of times Christians are believing God. Here's what they'll say. I'm believing God too. Trying to make God do something because you don't believe he's already done it. I'm believing God too. I'm believing God too. No, 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 no. God already did, therefore I believe it. Y'all hear the heart? You hear the faith difference. Anyone who comes to God must believe. I lost everybody right there. That was Hebrews 11, 6. Anyone who comes to God must believe. He is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I believe he is, and he is a rewarder. And everything that I believe he is and he is a rewarder of, I'm believing for now. Right? All right, praise God. Praise God. All right, so now, let's talk about this. This is something I don't think I've taught for quite a while. I used to teach this in Bible college when I taught Bible college. The process of faith. This is huge, guys. This is huge. If you can understand this, well, it'll probably transform your life, you know. But even deeper, if you can understand this principle, every need you have in your life, instead of complaining to God about not meeting it, you will start activating yourself in faith, believing for it. Okay? It takes really and puts you in a place where you can operate by faith and believe God for things. Because like I said, I believe he's done a lot already that we are not living in. Right? Okay, so what is the process of faith? Here it is. First of all, follow me as I go through this. And if you're taking notes, you write these scriptures down, study them all week. Here we go. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me say this just real quick. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. How many of y'all hear that? Faith comes by hearing. Now, let me tell you what most people hear whenever they hear that. They hear that my faith is built every time I hear the word. Okay? I'm going to tell you there's a portion of that that is true. Every time you hear the word, your faith is to be built. But let me tell you what is more powerful than you just simply hearing someone talk about faith. When you speak something by faith or in faith, it builds your faith. See, watch this. It's what I can help you grow your faith to a level through you just sitting in the messages, okay? But it isn't really in you till you start saying it. How many of you know you've been given an outer ear and an inner ear? Right? Your outer ear was meant to hear other people. How many of y'all hear me? All right, now listen to this. Your inner ear has such an important role in growing your faith. Very vital, very vital. Because when you speak, you hear yourself with your inner ear. When you hear yourself with your inner ear, your spirit is wide open to everything you say. Listen to this. Every time you speak, it goes right down into your spirit. Watch this. Not everything you hear goes into your spirit. Oh, everybody's like looking at it. Somebody calls you ugly. You're like, I'm good looking. I don't care what they say. You call yourself ugly. Goes right into your spirit. Right into your spirit. Goes right into your heart. Goes right into the, watch this. Goes right into the soil. Goes right into the soil. And guess what? If you don't yank that thing up and transplant it, it's going to grow on the inside of you. See what I'm saying? Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is believing God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I hear that, combined with the word of God, going into my heart, what is the best way? Check it out. I liken it to this. You can drink water and hydrate yourself, right? But how many of you know you can also get an IV? IV goes directly into your system, right? Whenever you go to the doctor, they don't say, here, chug these 5 bottles of water. Aren't you glad? No, they hook you up to an IV because it goes directly into your bloodstream. Or into your, I don't know what. Bloodstream? Bloodstream? Thank you. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just know there's a point here. All right? But listen to this. Listen to this. The difference is the same with your spirit. When you speak something, it is like getting an IV. It's going directly into your spirit. It's going directly into the soil. It's going directly into you. So now, listen. When you hear the word and you repeat it or you say it or you confess it, what it does is it goes deep down in the soil and it plants itself there. Did y'all get that? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Now, check this out. God hid this in the earth before time ever began on purpose. Why? Here's why. Check this out. While the earth what? Remains. What? Seed time and harvest. Okay, what I'm trying to get you to see is that as long as the earth remains, how many of you know we're still here? All right then, that's talking about now. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. As long as you know that you have seed, you can change your harvest in your life. As long as you have seed. You have seed, the seed is the word. The soil is your heart. As long as the earth remains, there's seed and there's harvest. As long as the earth remains, there's seed and there's harvest. If you don't like the harvest, stop planting that seed. If you want a different harvest, start planting right seed, good seed. You gotta have the right seed to get the right harvest. It isn't like God just came up with this new. Some people, here it cracks me up because you talk to people and they're like, well, I don't know, it just happened. No, it didn't happen. You sowed a seed. Then things don't just happen. They happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. God's in control. No, knucklehead, that's not what I'm saying. You chose, you sowed seed in your heart, and you allowed that seed to grow. Check this out. Cold and heat. How many of y'all can get a witness? That's Indiana right there. I've told you, we got 3 seasons. What are they? freeze, fry, and flood. That's it. We're in, guess which one we're in now? Fry. Praise God. Everything is extreme here. All right? Winter, summer, and day and what? Night. Now, this is really a powerful principle because you think about it. As long as there is day and night on the earth, there is seed time and harvest. What is the seed? The word. Where does it go? In my heart. If I take the seed and I put it in my heart, then guess what? It's going to produce a harvest. It's going to produce a harvest. I'll show you something else. God says this about his seed, his word. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, that's what first heaven, not third heaven, not where God lives. God's not in the snow. I'm just kidding. There could be snow in the mountains in heaven. Where I'm living in heaven, there ain't no snow, though. I can tell you that, all right? All right, check this out. And do not return there. Watch this. But waters the earth. Waters the earth. The water comes down, waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now watch. He's using a natural analogy to a bunch of people back in Isaiah's day who understood harvest cycles. Y'all follow me? Now watch. He goes and says this. Next verse says this. Pretty powerful. So shall my word be when it goes from my mouth. Now, that's a powerful thing. As the snow and rain comes down and it waters the earth and produces something, God says, listen, so is my word when it comes out of my mouth. You have such a great privilege as the people of God. We have such a great privilege. Because get this, we're the only beings on the earth that has a pneuma, as it's called in the Greek, a spirit. How many of you know you're a spirit being? You know, God made you a spirit so that, watch this, God is spirit, and when he speaks, it changes things. Watch this. He made you a spirit and he gave you his word. So that when you speak his word, it's just as if he's speaking his word. Watch this. It goes from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it will accomplish that which I please. God's word always works. Always. God doesn't say, my word works sometimes. My word works all the time. If the rain comes down and things grow, guess what? The word of God works. What most people don't do is they don't sow it into their heart. Or, check this out, they have mental assent of the word without understanding it's really in your heart. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They have mental assent. They're like, yeah, I think I believe that. But it's not in their heart. It needs to be in your heart. How do you get it in your heart? There's two ways. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So there's two ways. You hear it from someone else speaking it, or even more, you speak it. Because when you speak it, it goes right into your spirit and it sows it deep in and it's allowed to go deep within your heart. Man, that's so good. That's so good. That's so good. So watch this. Here's the deal. Here's a little bit deeper. Are y'all ready? How many of you are you blessed so far? You're blessed so far? All right. Because I want to show you something even deeper, something even more powerful. A lot of times you can look to the things of nature and find the ways and paths of God so that you can get things at a greater level. Check this out. Your body plus food equals energy. I know some of you are like, fat. No, energy. It's there to produce energy, right? If you don't eat, if you don't feed Chuck, Chuck gets tired. All right? And that's the excuse I use to eat a lot. All right. But body plus food equals energy. Now notice this. What the food is made up of is the same thing that the body is made up of. This is so important. Watch this. Your body is made of dirt, right? Guess what it needs to sustain life? Other forms of
dirt. Cows are just reformulated dirt. Come on, I had some cabbage earlier today. I mean, no, that's just another form of dirt. Huh? Everything your body needs is found in dirt because your body was made of dirt. Am I right? Man, some of you, the lights are going to come on here in just a second. Your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, needs soul food. And I know what some of you are thinking, fried chicken. No, that's not the soul food I'm talking about, praise God. All right? Soul food. What your mind craves and you feed it produces something. It produces willpower. Give you an example of this. When I was a kid and a teenager, I loved Hot Rod Magazine. Hot Rod Magazine, man. Every nickel area, every month, I couldn't wait to go buy Hot Rod Magazine. Just loved it. And guess what it produced in me? The willpower to, number one, want more or understand more about hot rods. And number two, get this, the energy to make one. And obviously, being a kid, North End, broke, I could only buy models. But they were hot rods. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? It produced willpower in me. See, check this out. A lot of times, if you watch someone's willpower, that's what they're feeding on. That's what they're feeding their mind on. Let me translate it real blatant. You ready? Someone who has a desire to go out and kill people, they've been feeding their will. They've been feeding their mind, will, and emotions that stuff, and that's why they have a willpower to do that stuff. Amen? Listen to this. If you want to control your willpower, make sure you're feeding your mind, will, and emotions the right things so that your willpower is spent in the right direction. Okay? See, so mind food eats mind food, and it produces willpower. Everybody get that? Okay, so here's what we got so far. Your body needs food, produces energy. Sorry. Soul food equals willpower. Now watch this. You're a spirit. Your spirit needs spirit food. All right? Now, here's what Jesus said. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. For the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Your spirit needs spirit food. Right? Your spirit needs what it's made of for it to sustain and grow and be strong. You, I told you, we're in a series, right? What are we in a series called? Roots. What are we talking about specifically tonight? Faith. See, without understanding this principle, though, I can't tell you about faith because here's the deal. You ready? Check this out. Here's the way it works. Spirit plus spirit food equals faith. Did y'all get that? Just like you feed your body food, it gets energy. You feed your spirit, the word of God. You feed the word of God into you, it produces something in you. Listen, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do nothing for it. It is the reservoir of what you have. It is what God has on the inside of you. It's like, I have faith. Not because I put it there or I earned it or I'm good at it or anything other than the fact that I understand the principle of I took what my spirit is made of, the word of God. I took the word of God, I sowed it into my spirit, and into my spirit it goes. And as it goes, it makes something. It's a combustion chamber on the inside there. And it produces faith on the inside of me. So therefore, whenever we talk about God doing something, it's easy for me to wrap my head around. Man, God's good. God will bless that. God will touch that. God will heal that. God will do that. God will do this. God will do that. I don't have to do something for it. I already see it and have it because it's faith living on the inside of me. Come on, isn't that good? That's good. That's how it's supposed to work. I've heard people say this, well, Pastor Charlie, I just need more faith. And I look at them most of the time, and I have to watch how I come off to people because sometimes it comes off like I'm offending someone. And I sometimes just go, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. But if they go here, I stop them and I say, listen, you don't need more faith. You don't need more faith. That's like, I got an analogy, but I probably shouldn't use it. I think I won't. But listen. Now you guys just want me to, don't you? All right. And it's crude. I'm just telling you, it's crude. It's like looking at the commode and going, well, I just wish I had more. That was my analogy. It's terrible, isn't it? I told you, it's not good. Not good. I told you. But that's what came to mind. All right? But listen, on a serious note, you don't do that. If you do something, you need prayer. You need the prayer of faith to lay hands on you. No, I mean this sincerely, though. Please hear my heart. If you don't have enough in that environment, all right, it's because you didn't get nothing in. This is all bad. I don't know how to make it better. I just don't know how to make it better. But I'm telling you, it works. It works, right? All right, now listen, here's the truth. I feel like I'm like that little boy. Linda, listen, honey, listen. But here's my point in this. If you're not seeing the results in faith, you don't blame faith. Right? You don't go, I don't have faith. Or faith just works for them and it don't work for me. You say, no. You didn't sow the seed of faith in your heart. If you want the result, you got to sow that seed in your heart. You got to take the word, throw it in your heart, say it, confess it, until it produces something in your life. Faith is the product. It's not the, it's the outcome. It's what flows out. It's not what, yeah. I can't even use that now. I'm all messed up. But you guys get what I'm saying. Look at this. Check this. Michelle asked me at dinner, how'd it go? Well, went all right. Look at this. This 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says this. I planted, this is Paul talking, I planted, Apollos watered. Do you know, there is the sowing of the seed, but then there is the watering of the seed. You got to continually water that seed. How do you water that seed? And I used this last week, so I'll read through this pretty quick. But I want to make sure you guys understand where I'm coming from this or with this. Because in the last service last week, I didn't get to this point because of the baptisms. But nevertheless, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is Psalms 1, by the way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does meditate what? Day and night. How do you water the seed in your heart? You meditate on it. You eat it, you regurgitate it, and you eat it using the cow analogy like last week. You eat it. Go. We're all about bodily functions tonight. I don't know what the deal is. Lord help us. But it really, it's like a cow. You're going to eat it, you're going to eat it over and over again. You're going to constantly water that seed. So I'm going to be real practical with you. Let's say I'm believing God for healing. All right? Now, let me show you how it goes and it becomes practical. We don't say, Pastor Charlie, I need more faith to believe for healing. No, you need more seed. You need seed. You take the seed, which is the word of God. You look up a bunch of healing verses. You take those verses and you start reading them. And then I believe with all my heart, God will point out 2, 3, 4 maybe. Not, and don't take a bunch of seed, all right? You take 2, 3, 4, 5 of those verses and you memorize them. And you put them in your heart and you're saying them. So every day you wake up, your body may feel sick, but you say, Lord, I thank you that your word is true. And it, as the snow and rain comes down from heaven, so your word, it shall come and it will not return void. It will accomplish the thing which you've sent it to do. So I thank you, I sow, Psalms 103, that says you have healed all my sicknesses and delivered me from all my diseases. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. And you're sowing that seed in you. You're sowing that seed in you. And then later on in the day, your ache comes back. You're like, oh, Lord, there's an opportunity. Opportunity, watch this. It's an opportunity to let the cares of this world to choke out the seed, or it's a time to water the seed. And I choose to water the seed. Lord, I thank you. By your stripes, I thank you. I am healed. I thank you. I'm blessed. As the snow comes down from heaven, your word will not return void. I must sow that thing in my heart. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to water the seed right here and right now. Every time you, devil, come and tell me about my body ache, I'm going to tell you about the seed that I'm watering in my heart. Praise God. I'm just going to water the seed every time. Water that seed every time. I'm not going to do this just today because I was at church and Pastor Charlie prayed for me. I'm going to do this tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it knowing that, number one, God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And his word will not fail me in my heart. That's how it works. That's how, and watch, and the byproduct of that is faith grows. Faith grows. And how many of you know, to him who believes, all things are possible. Right? A lot of times people say, oh, I don't want to doubt. No. You're growing the wrong thing. You're watering the wrong thing. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? By saying, I don't want to doubt, you're watering that. That statement is doubt. You know, it's like saying, I'm not scared of the dark. I'm not scared of the dark. I'm not scared. And then all you think about is dark. Doesn't work. No, you go over to the other side and you say, Lord, I thank you for faith. I think faith rises up out of me, not because I earned it, but because your word lives in me, moves in me. It's working in me. This is how you root yourself in faith. Root yourself. Root yourself. That's why you may not have a dollar to your name, but if you believe God, that God is the God who prospers his people, then you will anchor yourself in that faith, and you will say that. So every time you're balancing your checkbook, you're like, well, too much month for money. Come on, anybody been Poe? Come on. Then you don't go, well, you know, faith just doesn't work, giving doesn't work, God doesn't work. No, you don't do that. You say what? You say, I thank you, Lord, that your promises are true over my money. I thank you they are true and that you will prosper us, God. And Lord, we don't know where we're at in our giving, but bless God, we know we need you. But we know this, you are a God that is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So instead of complaining because we don't have enough, we will choose to believe your word that will ultimately, in the end, produce more than enough. You hear the difference? You hear the difference. That's how you root yourself. And you can take any area of your life and root yourself in faith in that area. Root yourself in that. So what harvest do you have in your life that you don't like? Well, I just hate my wife. Get a new one. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say get a new one. No. Hey, I'm going to be real with you. You ready? What should I do, Pastor Charlie? I don't like my wife. Let's go with it for real. Well, what do? I don't like my wife. Here's what you do. You take some seed. The principle is the same every time. You take some seed. What's the word of God say about your wife? He who has a wife has a good thing. You ought to start there. That your spouse is a blessing. That watch this. That you are to love her like Jesus loves his church, willing to lay down himself and die for it. That's why Paul said, I die daily. So, I know, I just, all over the place. Yeah, squirrel. Squirrel. Okay, back to this, loving your spouse. You take the seed, the word, and you sow that in your heart. You look at her, oh, I'm annoyed at her, but I choose to believe the seed, and I'm gonna sow the seed. Ah, she's on my nerves, you better water that seed. Water that seed, and water that seed, and water that seed, and I believe you, believe me. It will change how you see your spouse. People that I've talked to about that hate their spouse, I don't want to be married no more. Why? You found another one? She's got problems too. You're watering the wrong seed, pal. Right? Yeah, absolutely. You need to water your seed in your heart. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why people that have been divorced end up divorced over and over and over again. They water the wrong seed. And then they wonder, why is it producing that in my life? Well, it's because you haven't changed the seed. My wife is crazy. They're all crazy. No, I'm just kidding. No, just that, guys. All right. All right. I got to stop. I'm going to get in trouble. I love Saturdays, though, don't you? We very rarely use this one on the radio. Very rarely. Let me give you a couple more things. If you're taking notes, write this down. You ready? Look at this. Number one, it works by love. It doesn't work by fear. It works by what? Love. By love. By love. Check this out. Galatians 5:6 says this. For Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Watch this. If you think in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to spend on grace, all right? Next 2 weeks, I'm going to spend on grace. Then I got 1 week after that, I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit. And then the week after that, church. And the one on church, we're going to talk about what our future plans is here as a church. So you don't want to miss that one. All right. But nevertheless, I say all that to say the next 2 weeks I'm going to spend on grace, because I believe it with all my heart. If you're going to ground yourself in faith, you've got to ground yourself in grace. Here's why. Listen to this. For Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. If you believe that your God is always judging you, then that's not love. That's judgment. Is that fair? All right? So it's faith working through love. You've got to know that your God loves you for you to even believe anything by faith. Do you ever realize that? You can't walk around, oh, I don't want to make God mad. You ain't going to do anything because you don't believe he loves you. You're more fear-based and judgment-based than you are faith-based. Hey, check this out. Go home this week, read Hebrews chapter 11. I challenge you. Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. Read through there. There's some men in there, women in there that were absolute. Rahab the harlot. Huh. How's she doing on her spiritual journey? Hey, but she made it in the Hall of Fame of Faith because she believed God even though she had issues. Come on, you can't be a harlot and not have some issues, y'all. All right? Listen, Noah, who ended up getting drunk right after God delivered him. I can tell you why. I don't believe he did it on purpose. But nevertheless, Noah, all right? David. I could go down through the Hall of Fame of Faith and read those people. And I promise you, they weren't perfect people. They didn't do everything right. They were not the perfect people that like God would bless just because. But here's the difference. Here's what separates them from everybody else. You ready? They believed God. They may have had their issues. They may have had their problems. They may have had their situations. But I promise you, they believed God. They believed he was, and he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Even if their lives were wrecked, they believed certain things about God. And if you will believe those certain things about God, God will move in your life too. The thing that disqualifies most people is that they say, well, you know, God would, but I. Yeah, get you out of the equation and now you're moving in faith. Right? Keep you out of it. All right, here's the last thing. What does the word accomplish? What does faith accomplish? Check this out. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded yourself with truth, having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness, and having shodded your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Whole lot in there, but let me just get to this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, a shield in Roman times was used for two reasons. It was used to shield yourself. And actually, the shield was wrapped in leather, and they would actually dip it in oil, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit and your faith working together. But it would be wrapped in leather, dipped in oil, and then guess what it would be used for? Two purposes. It was used as a defense, and if it was in close combat, it was an offensive weapon. But notice this, he says, above all. He said, you know, there's all these things that you should have on as the armor of God. But out of all of them, you need the shield of faith working in your life because it protects you against the fiery darts, because the enemy will try and put a dart on you. But when he does, you've got to knock that dart down. You know how they would do it in the Roman days? They would take that shield, they would stick it out there, and if the thing stuck the shield, they would take their sword, and they would take and then knock that arrow off. They would knock it with the sword. And that's exactly how I see your faith. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? And the shield of faith is what you're trying to operate in. You take the word of God and you knock that thing off, and that's what keeps you protected from the enemy advancing in your life. It's pretty good, right? Absolutely. So how many of you learned a little bit about faith? Okay, so let's go through it one more time. Take us about 20 minutes. Here we go. No, the seed is the word. Where does the word go? In your heart. Now watch. As the seed goes in your heart, you can get it there two ways. How? Through hearing or by speaking. Yeah, then it goes down into your heart. Now, your spirit, which is made up of spirit, has spirit food. It needs spirit food, which is the word. You take the word in, put it in your spirit, and God has promised that if you will do that, it will produce what? Faith in your life, right? So how many of you know you got faith? Come on, say, I got faith. I got faith. You got faith. If you got the word, get some. You want to show me your faith? Show me your word. I'm believing God for God to prosper me. Okay, what seed have you got in your heart? I'm believing God to heal me. All right, what seed do you got in your heart? If you get the seed, man, God will bring a harvest. Amen? Amen. Man, ain't God good? Give him a big clap. Praise God.